The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. Today, I have an incredible individual coming to the show, a special guest I have on the show, Allison Jackson. Allison is the founder of Allison Jackson Fitness. She loves all things health and fitness. She really loves sharing her knowledge and expertise to help hardworking moms reach their goals so they can be at their best on a daily basis. Are you ready to transform your body and reach your goals? It is 2020 and these goals are coming in, and Allison is the person with the experience and the expertise to actually show you how to do so. Allison, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lunid. It's great to be here.
It is my pleasure. I would love today to pick your brain on how to fit to lead. So I have a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of busy parents and moms. They want to know how they can work the body and also work the mind to be the leader they're designed to be. We'll talk about the benefits of meal prepping and your background and your robust morning routine. So Allison, fill us in. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So just a little bit of background. I'm married. I have two teenagers. I work full time. My Allison Jackson Fitness business is my side hustle. I'm extremely passionate about it. The way that my business began is actually out of a hobby. I'm a competitive bodybuilder. So for the past 8 years, I've been competing in something called a figure competition, which is like bodybuilding meets beauty pageant. And basically, it's been a lot of weight training and, regimented diet helps me get stage ready. And over the years, people are always asking me, you know, what do you eat? How do you work out? How do you get stage ready? And that's kind of how my business came about. I started coaching others and helping them reach their goals. And suddenly I have this side business and it's been amazing. I call it my passion project. I just love being able to help other people reach their goals, because I finally feel like I've like cracked that secret code of what it takes to get that dream body that you want. And it doesn't take a million hours at the gym. It does take some focus and, a strategy, but everyone can definitely do it.
Yeah. And you are busy. And so to be able to fit all that in, a mom working full-time job and then this be your side hustle, how did you get into bodybuilding?
It's funny. When I was in high school, I used to actually go and use my dad's weight bench in the basement, and I would read his muscle and fitness magazines. And I was always so amazed with how people could transform their bodies through weight training. It was almost like a sculptor. And I was like, God, I would love to do that one day. And it was always in the back of my mind that it was something I wanted to do, but I thought it was just like a bucket list item. And then about 8 years ago, I met a coach that was a competition prep coach. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm going to do it. And that is one thing I would highly recommend, no matter what your goal, if it's a bodybuilding competition, if it's your business, no matter what your goal, new job, career promotion, find a coach, find someone that could hold you accountable. That is so crucial to reaching your goals. And I really think that's what helped me. And now, in turn, I'm able to do that for other people. So that's definitely something I highly recommend.
Yeah. And I agree with you about finding a coach, an accountability partner, somebody to hold you to your word, because we need that push. And sometimes, and I also believe that I believe in coaches and following the experts, because they leave, there's success leaves clues, right? Success leaves a trail. And what you can teach me about fitness, I will probably take me 10 years to learn. You can teach me in a couple of months. You're saving me time and money.
Yeah. Yeah. Coaches definitely fast track any of the research, figuring out the program. They just kind of, you know, hand deliver it to you.
Yeah. That sense of expertise. And I really like that about you because you walked the walk, you did the fitness part, and now you're passing on the torch. You're helping other people, but you have a niche. You work closely with moms. Tell us about that niche that you chose to work with.
Yeah. So I feel like I, you know, to your point, walk the walk, talk the talk. I understand busy corporate traveling moms that possibly have other things going on. You might have a side hustle. You might be taking care of elderly parents. It's women that are super busy and don't have a lot of time, but also don't focus on themselves. And maybe at one time you used to work out or you were in shape or you had more time, but now you don't. So it's really about finding the most effective, efficient way to get where you need to go and making sure that you do focus on yourself, because self-care is so important aside from the nutrition and the workouts. It's about that mindset and having that positive attitude as well.
Mm-hmm. And moms need all the help they can get because my sister is a mom. There's a need to take care of others, right? So you don't put self-care first, and it's a time to actually shift the mindset and start thinking about you. Start thinking about if you're not healthy, if you're not well, then you're not good to your family. You're not good to your kids. And so putting that first is crucial. So what are some of the things you work with the people you coach? What is a coaching strategy with you? What does that look like?
So one of the first things is I try to get people to prioritize what's important for them and making time and scheduling it. So whether it's meal prepping, whether it's working out, no matter what your goal, it's carving out that time to dedicate to it. It could be meditation. It could be practicing yoga. It's you know, you either make it a priority or you make it an excuse. So everyone says they don't have time to work out. That's not true. It's what you prioritize as being important to you. The other thing I have people do frequently is track your food using my fitness pal. What gets measured gets managed. If you don't know what you're eating or how much you're consuming, you won't be able to figure out what needs to be fixed and how to make adjustments. So highly recommend tracking your food and meal prepping. So you need to plan in advance what you're going to eat. You can't wing it. You have to have that healthy food on hand and know each day and each week what you're going to eat, what you're going to feed your family, and that it is easy. It's not difficult to be able to eat healthy and also feed your family healthy meals as well.
Yeah. I find it, I go to Costco quite a bit. And if you buy in bulk, then you can buy the big bag of spinach and that can feed a family for about 2 weeks. And it's less than $5. And so I agree with you.
Yeah.
You can eat healthy. You should keep it light and you can also feed the family feed them greens and smoothies, make smoothies out of that. There's so many different options. Now you talk about Fitness Pal. Is that an app that you have? How do you help your clients track their meals?
So My Fitness Pal is a free app that you could get on your phone or your computer. Mm-hmm. You could download it. They also have a premium version. The free one is totally fine. I just recently, probably about a year or two ago, switched over. The premium, I think, is $50 a year. But basically what this allows you to do is log your food. And you could either manually enter it, you could scan the barcode, and there are thousands upon thousands of foods in there, and it will show you what calories, protein, carbohydrates, and fats are in each of your foods. And that's typically how I train my clients and how I train for my competitions is tracking they're called macros, so tracking your protein, carbs, and fat. And when you eat a certain allotment, and usually it's like 40% protein, 40% carbs, 20% fat, so a high protein, low fat diet, that is really what will help you lose the weight. It'll keep you full. It'll help you build muscle, keep that muscle tone. So that's what I highly recommend. Anyone could go and download it and just start tracking your food and you'll see right away how much or how little you're consuming. Mm-hmm.
As a bodybuilder, what's your calorie intake? How do you manage it?
It's funny. Everybody always asks me that question. How much are you eating? What are you eating? So right now I'm considered what's considered off season. season. So I'm not preparing for a competition in 2020. This is the first time ever I'm taking an entire year off from competing. It does take a toll on your body, getting that lean and constantly dieting. It breaks down fat, but it also does break down a little bit of muscle. So currently I am in kind of a maintenance. I'm about 10 pounds over my stage weight. Right now my calories are probably anywhere between 1600 to 1800. I'm taking in about 140 grams of protein, 50 grams of fat, and anywhere from 150 to 200 grams of carbs.
1600 calories a day. That's it.
It's surprising. It's funny. You don't need that many calories, and I'm not starving. I mean, when you eat.
Yeah. So 1600 calories, you don't need as much and you're not famished. So you are sustaining your energy under that. So there's a myth. You need a lot of calories. So is it different for men and women? What have you found?
Yeah, it is. So, and also depending too, for women and men, depending on your height, depending on how active you are, obviously if you're a waitress or a nurse and you're on your feet and moving a lot, versus someone who maybe sits at a desk all day, your activity level, your height, your weight, your current weight versus your goal weight, all of those things, play a role in how much you're going to eat each day and how much you need to eat to either lose weight, maintain, or lose.
Yeah. So during your off season, you lose some muscle mass, but the minute you start training again and eating the lean protein, the high protein diet, it's like elastic. You snap right back.
Yeah, exactly. And the beauty of, off season is you eat a little bit more. It helps you build muscle. I feel much stronger. I sleep better. There's a lot of different factors. So I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can. I feel fluffy, after you get really lean. People are like, I feel fat. People are like, shut up. You're not fat. I know. I'm like everything's, relevant. I am very thin, but I, feel fluffy right now.
You look amazing. I'm looking at you and there's not an ounce of fat. And it's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
It's pretty impressive how you can train the body. You can transform the body. You're taking that time off, you letting the body rest, because you said it's taxing, right? It's physically taxing to be so rigorous with your physical activity and your eating habit. What are some things how does it affect the body long term?
Yeah. So, it's funny. I always say bodybuilding is not, I would call, the healthiest of hobbies. It does take a toll on your body, especially as you get older too. It gets harder and harder, as most women know, as you start to get into menopause and perimenopause and all that fun stuff, it gets harder to lose weight. Your hormones play a factor. They do contribute to, how hungry you are, whether certain things that you crave or don't crave. So it gets harder as you get older. At the same time, that muscle memory, things just come back a little bit easier and faster in terms of muscle and losing the fat. Your metabolism, you begin to train it. When you are dieting down, the things that people don't realize is, I'm constantly cold. Mm. So when you don't have a lot of body fat, you're constantly cold. Oh. Other things are, you have a hard time sleeping. You're not as strong in the gym. The workouts get harder, even though you're not lifting as much weight. They do get harder. So I always equate it to, working out in mud. How is this so hard?
Really? That's interesting. And I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, you're building muscle in the off season, is that you feel strong, that you feel like, I can lift more, I could go harder. That's when you know that you're feeding your body and you're building muscle, is when you really, feel like you're strong and you can lift heavier. And that's another misconception people have. Lifting heavy will not make you bulky. There's no such thing as muscle toning. You need to lift heavy to build muscle. And I lift as heavy as I can. And it's a struggle to pack on 2 to 3 pounds a year. It's hard. It's very hard to build muscle. You need to take in the right amount of protein and lift heavy. But if women can build 2 to 3 pounds of muscle, fat, very easy to add on.
Yeah, I know. Don't I know it?
You and me both.
I have been on a get shredded plan for 3 months and I was dumbfounded of how long this is going to take, because we're talking about eating right, doing the lean protein and working out 5 days a week and using Fitbod to actually assess my own body weight and using and increasing my weight every workout. And so it's holistically just helping me. But I realized 3 months into it, I'm like, all right, my arms look a little more defined, but I look at my fiance, he does the same workout, eats the same way, and then he's a lot more defined than I am. So it's really harder for women to actually get into that. I guess it would be unnatural to look like a man, right? It would, if you think about it.
Yeah, and men do have it easier. I mean, they're just naturally have a more proportionate amount of muscle, so it is a lot easier for them to drop weight. With women bearing children, we are prone to packing on fat around the belly, butt, legs area. That's another thing that, you mentioned about your legs and your arms getting leaner. That's another thing you'll notice too. Most women will start to lean out from the top down. So of course your butt, legs, the spot that the weight to come off the most, that's just the very last part.
Talking about perseverance, you got to keep it going. And then, and then the reward, you'll reap the reward. It'll be so sweet once you actually get that body and you can flaunt it.
Yes. And, consistency is so important. And really, 90% of it is nutrition. So when you start to see changes, a lot of it is going to be due to nutrition, and the workouts will just speed that up.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of it is in the kitchen, because if you're not intaking the right amount of calories, as you mentioned, or not knowing what the number is, because we're on this misconception, we need 2,500 calories a day. And really, and if you're not burning calories, if you're not refueling properly, really, you're just setting yourself up to gain weight. So I love the notion of that it's not a easy road to getting the body that you want. So I can imagine it requires a lot of mental toughness that will go along with it. Tell me about that process. What are the changes that you've had to mentally undergo? I mean, you've been competing since 2012, and as of 2019, you're still competing and still winning. Like, you won first place Masters figure pro last year. Congratulations. And you're still going at it, a mom. So what's the mental toughness that you had to, who do you have to become?
So, that's a great, great question. I love that. It is about really being able to visualize what your goal is, what you want to achieve, and how that looks and feels to you. And I have to say, over the past 18 months, maybe 2 years, I've really started meditating on a daily basis. And that has been a game changer for me in so many different regards, not only in terms of visualization, but in terms of managing stress and staying grounded. Being able to focus. I highly recommend, there's a lot of free apps. I use an app called Insight Timer. Whether you do it 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, just quieting your mind for that time is just a huge, huge benefit on so many different levels. As a mom, as an employee, as a wife, as a daughter, like across the board, I can't say enough about that, how that has helped me. I wish I had it, when I first started competing, but that definitely helps with my motivation, helps with my attitude and my mindset. So I would definitely recommend that.
Meditation, visualization, and stress management. Those are key components to a happier individual. So it's a great segue, Allison, to our morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What do you do in the morning?
My alarm goes off at 4:19. I am at the gym by 4:45. I get in like a 45-minute workout, which may or may not, usually it's mainly weight training. There might be cardio. I come home, I get my kids ready for school. I get myself ready. And then before I head into the office, I will meditate. I'll write 10 things I'm grateful for. Do my to-do list for the day and then just hit the ground running.
That's impressive. 4:19. You are up when...
Some days are easier than others.
You are up when the rest of the world is sleeping. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And this is the same schedule you follow when you are training, or does it vary?
No, I try to wake up and go to sleep the same time, on season, off season, weekends, weekdays, which to my husband's dismay, when he wants to go out on Friday and Saturday night, I'm like, I need to be in bed by 9. But I do try to follow that schedule, like, you know, year round. I mean, obviously holidays and special occasions, I kind of veer off, but I do find that just having that routine helps me keep focused.
Yeah, there is something to say about waking up at 4 a.m. It is the when the brain is most alert. If you go to sleep between 10 and then wake up at 4, you feel more rested. You know, your body mm-hmm. goes through this through REM cycle when you sleep a lot more sound. And I was up at 4:30. I'm up at 4:30 typically, just like you, because I feel like we get more time out of the day than other people. Cause that, if you think about it, people are sleeping until 6. That's an extra 2 hours that we've had in the morning. Totally. Yeah. Totally. And I know Earl Nightingale says, if you wake up 1 hour earlier than everyone else, but at the end of the year, you will have gained 6 weeks more than everyone else. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah, you're already working out, so you're taking care of yourself. Everyone else is still scrambling out of bed at 6 a.m. and rushing into the traffic, rushing through the day. And you've already worked out. You took care of your body and you're like ready to take care of the kids and then getting the meditation piece in. That's like incredible. I love your piece on your gratitude journal. That time spent in focusing on the positive, in focusing on the things that are going well, it breeds more success. It breeds more things for you to be grateful for. What?
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. You mentioned the meditation. You have the stress management app. Is that? That's part of the meditation piece for you?
Yeah. So with Insight Timer, they have guided meditations, but then they also have a timer where you could just meditate on your own. So I literally just play it by how I feel. Some days I want to focus on gratitude or abundance, or I feel like I need more, you know, positive energy. So I might do a guided one. But like this morning I did, like I have a 5 minute, 11 minute. I did an 11 minute one and just focus on thinking about nothing. Mm. Just absolutely nothing. It was hard.
Yeah, no, it's not as easy as it sounds. I've tried it.
Yeah. You had that to-do list, like constantly going, right?
Yeah, or thinking about that conversation that you had or you're going to have. I mean, the mind just kind of floats away. Like one analogy that I got through Headspace, I use Headspace and it does a similar thing to the Insight Timer you're talking about. And it talks about the mind, like imagine you are stuck in traffic and then every thought is like a car passing you by. And so it is slow and steady, but you gotta focus. You gotta bring it back. And then the way to bring it back, and I want you to chime in on this as well. The way to focus is to come back to your breath. Because we talk about meditation all the time, but we don't know how to meditate, right? Mm-hmm. What have you find that has helped you to focus the mind? Because it is hard. It is not easy. There's my thoughts fluttering and popping up like popcorn, you know? And so I know you've been doing it for a while. So what has worked for you best?
Yeah. So I discovered something that's called Navy SEAL breathing. Supposedly they use it to help calm themselves down when they're in like dire situations. And you basically inhale for 4, hold for 4, and exhale for 4. And you need to count each. You need to count the 4 in, hold the 4, you know, so you're counting and breathing the whole time that you almost can't focus on anything else.
Mm, okay. So the counting piece will help you direct your attention. And so it's like 4 seconds in, 4 seconds hold, and then 4 seconds out.
Yeah. I found that's hugely helpful. Even it's funny, I've been teaching my daughter to do that because I didn't realize she's 12. She has anxiety, which I never realized. Like she even gets anxious watching football games with her father. Mm-hmm. Like her heart will beat out of her chest. So I've been teaching her like just breathe in for 4, hold, breathe out. Like just, you know, you need to learn these tactics to calm yourself down or, you know, be able to relax.
Yeah, and I think we need to learn it in the household, at home, in school, because it's like being told to concentrate. It's saying, hey, focus on your homework, concentrate, do this, do that. But if you really think about it, no one ever taught us in school how to concentrate. They just tell us to do it. No one ever tell us how to calm down. And so that tactic that you're showing your daughter, and we need the tools. We need the how-tos.
Yes, absolutely.
So that we can be able to apply it. And that's where coaching comes in again, right? Because you have somebody who will know what you're going through and know how to give you the right tools to actually accomplish your goals and whatever that is. So I would love to hear, Allison, how my listeners can connect with you, find out about more of your coaching business.
Absolutely. So they can visit my website, which is www.allisonjacksonfitness.com. I would love to have everybody pop on. I'm also on Facebook, same address, Instagram, LinkedIn, and I'm launching a book that hopefully by the time this podcast is out, it will be out, and it's going to be The Busy Mom's Guide to Getting Lean, Eating Foods You Love. So be on the lookout for that as well.
Fantastic. Allison, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a delight.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome talking with you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew. Topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.